everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you without money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on that which is not food, and your wages on that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the promises assured to David. So you will summon nations you do not know, and nations who do not know you will run to you. For the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way, and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, so he may give compassion, and to our God, for he will freely forgive.
Hymn number 420. Hymn number 420. Would you stand?
Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, love, and power, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior.
Sinners bleeding. Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered, on heaven's shore, my song shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree.
Thank y'all. That was awesome. You know, my goodness. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We got to get to work here. I have 6 points today, so we got to get going. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. The title of the message is that the Lord is with His elect. The Lord is with His elect. Genesis chapter 28. And as I read this, getting prepared for it, I didn't see what all there was there to begin with. And I'm excited to show you what's in the text today. And I hope you're just as excited to see what's in God's Word for you today. So let's read all of chapter 28 today. It's very interesting, I believe. And so I don't think it would be very difficult for us to pay very much attention. Children, if you pay attention and if you write any notes today, I got candy today, all right? It goes fast, and then I finally get some more, and then it goes fast. But it means you have to pay attention and at least write a little bit of notes, okay? And if you don't have a pencil, just be able to tell me one thing that you learned from the sermon, except for God. Jesus. You can't come back there and say, when I say, what was the sermon about? You say, God. All right? Doesn't count, even though it was about Him. All right, starting in verse 1, let's read. It says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May He give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring, that offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Now, really quickly, because I'm not going to mention much about Esau in the sermon. What Esau did, he was trying to make things right. He had been taking women from the Canaanites, and then he decided he would take from his grandfather's son's family, Ishmael. So he thought what he was doing was right, but that was not what God wanted. He already had two women, all right? Polygamy, although it was suffered in the Bible, it was never said that it was okay. So this is what Esau did to try to please his parents, but it didn't work. On we go with Jacob. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie will give you to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Let's pray. God in heaven, we ask you, Lord, today that you will open our eyes to see the beauty of your word. God, teach us today, we pray, from your word in your dealings with your servant Jacob about who you are and how you deal with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we know the promise of God came to Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was accounted as righteousness to him because he trusted in God. And Abraham is truly our father in the faith. And then the blessing passed from Abraham to Isaac. And then from Isaac, it passed to Jacob. God promises that they would be a great nation. And specifically that they would be a nation that through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The promise came to Jacob, as God tells Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. And along the way, Esau sells his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of red lentil soup. Then when it came time for the blessing, Isaac, as we remember last week, was going to give the blessing to Esau, but instead, Rebekah and Jacob came up with a plan to make sure Jacob got the blessing, and they lied to the patriarch Isaac, and you remember he put goat skin on him and all this nonsense, and Jacob received the blessing. And so this is where we kind of left off last week. And I said to you that this would cause Jacob to leave and never see his family, his mother and his father again. And I was wrong about that. He would not see his mother again, but he would see his father again. And today we're going to consider Jacob's journey away from his home. We'll see how he set out, left his family and his friends and his possessions behind, and what a trial this would be for Jacob. Yet God would be with him and protect him, provide with him, and his presence would be with Jacob. And there's much for us to learn here in the text today. There's much for us to apply in our own life when we look at the life of Jacob and the trial that he went through and the promises of God to be there with him in his life. And I want us to exalt in God, in the presence of God Almighty, the God of Jacob today, that he is also here with us. And even though we are a sinner just like Jacob, God can be with us. The first thing I want you to see in the text is that Jacob was sent out with the blessing of God. You saw that in verses 1 through 4 that Isaac sends Jacob out with a blessing. No longer is Isaac wanting to give the blessing to Esau, but he's blessing Jacob. His mother has come and said, we need to send Jacob to go find a wife not from this place. And unlike Abraham did with Isaac in regards to sending his servant to go get Rebekah and bring him to Isaac, Isaac sends his son off to go find his wife, right? So this is kind of more of an American type way to do it, right? The way Abraham did that was kind of an Indian way with the arranged marriages that they still have. And this is more the American way. Sending his son off to find, it's like going off to college, except he's 40 years old, right? He's at least 40 years old when he does this. And although Jacob had deceived Isaac to receive the blessing at first, Isaac is not fighting God anymore. He's reminded of the promise that God has given him. He's reminded of the words that God spoke to Rebekah in regards to Jacob, and he blesses his son. And he says something interesting in the text. He says that you may become a company of peoples. And it's the first time that we really see that word in the promises. Talked about being a nation, sands as many as the sand on the sea, as many as the stars in the heaven. But here we see the word company or assembly of peoples. And it's significant because there's a connection between that word and the gathered church today. It's where we get the word ecclesia from. Well, there's a connection to it. There's a connection between this company that he promises and the gathered church today, so that we continue to see within the promise that God is giving to Jacob, or through Isaac to Jacob, that there's a promise of a blessing to all nations to be gathered and assembled as people of God. And I don't think it's an accident that God puts it this way here. So we see that God sends Jacob out with a blessing. But then we see that although Jacob is being sent out with a blessing, Jacob is about to endure a difficult trial. In verse 10, it says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. I want you to consider the difficulty of this situation for Jacob. Jacob was over 40 years old. He'd never been away from his mama. All right? He was truly, in all way, shape, and form, a mama's boy. The first mama's boy in the Bible was Jacob. All right? How many of you in here are mama's boys? Do we have any? Okay. If Philip was here, he'd raise his hand for sure. He's the favorite one, isn't he, Rebecca? That's right. And Jacob was truly a mama's boy, but he's faced here with essentially being banished from his family and his home. His brother wants to kill him. He said he's deceived me twice. And Esau comforted himself in the planning of his brother's murder. This is how he brought comfort to himself. This is how he got over being deceived, because he knew that when the time was right, when his dad died, he was going to kill Jacob. And Jacob had deceived his father, had wounded him greatly, and so now Jacob has to leave the land of promise that God has given him and his family. He leaves his flocks and his friends, at least 40 years of relationships he's leaving behind. Now, most of us know the difficulty of leaving people behind, of maybe getting out of high school and going on to college and then finally getting used to being there and then having to leave and go find a job in the real world. All of us, many of us have experienced some semblance of that in our life, the difficulty of leaving friends and family. And somehow many of you get to be around your family, but you know the difficulty when it comes to going on a journey on your own. Or you may be going through some other type of trial in your life. Whatever it may be, you can apply it here. And not only is he leaving his family, but it looks like he's leaving with nothing. It doesn't say, and Isaac gave him some servants, and they went with him. You never hear any mention of, not that I've noticed, of servants with him or possessions with him. You don't see any of that. And it, to me, what stands out in the text as to how not well off he was at this point is how he slept. It says he comes to this place and it's dark and he wants to find a place to sleep. So he takes a rock and he uses it for his pillow. Now, some of you in here are like, my rock, my pillow is like a rock. My bed is like a rock. But it's really not. A rock is like a rock. All right? And this man slept on a rock that night. Away from his mother for the first time. Away from his father. Away from his brother. Away from his friends, from his flocks, from his tents. From all the comforts of his home. And he's sleeping on a rock for a pillow. It's a time of trial in the life of Jacob. And it's important for us to apply this in our own life. And we won't get into all the purposes that God had for this trial in Jacob's life or how it was going to shape him. But just know that when God calls a person as his child, he has no intention of leaving you the way that you are. And whatever plan that he has to put in place to conform you to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, he's going to do it. And sometimes many of us have to learn the hard way, don't we? And Jacob was going to have to learn the hard way. He was going to have to grow from being a man that used deception to get the blessings of God. He was a man that wanted the blessings of God, but he was using deception to get it. He was going to grow from a man that used deception for the blessings of God to being a man that walked before the Lord in righteousness. He was going to grow. And the psalmist David understood trials, and he understood how God would be with him in these. And Jacob would find that out as well. In Psalm 34, King David writes, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all his saints. For those who fear the Lord have no lack." David is writing this from the perspective of going through a trial and praying for God to be there and knowing that God would be there. And this is what's going to happen in the life of Jacob. And as he's going along, you're going to see that God comes to him. So we saw that that Jacob left with the blessing of God. We see that he was going through a trial, not to mention what was going to happen to him when he did finally get to his uncle. We'll talk about that later. But we also see that God comes and speaks to him. You see that in verses 12 through 15. It says, "He dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie will give you, and to your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." God comes and speaks to Jacob in Jacob's lowest point so far in his life. This is the first time that we see an encounter between Jacob and God Almighty. What a privilege it is to hear the word of God. What a blessing it is. And we notice something amazing. When God comes to speak to Jacob, we notice that there's something missing in what God says. There is no condemnation from God. God does not mention once the deception that Jacob had done on his father. He only comes in with grace. This sinful man that had lied and cheated his brother, God makes no mention of his sin. He only comes with grace. God's grace is like that for us even today. Is that not what Jesus has done for us as well? To come, call us to life. He does not call for condemnation of our sins, but rather He offers us free salvation. Yes, we see them. They're pointing out. We know them. But He does not come offering condemnation to His children. He comes only offering grace. And Jacob experienced this. Jacob experienced the grace even then of Jesus Christ, who would bear his sins in his body on the tree. David in Psalm chapter 32 expressed the great blessing that comes to the man of God who has forgiveness of sins. When he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." And this was what was happening for Jacob. Now, what did he see in his dream? Now, this is probably the most interesting part to you. But I'm going to tell you, this is not the greatest part about the text. I'll get to that. That's the next point. But what we see here is he sees what has been translated as a ladder. How many of you have heard Jacob's ladder? Climbing Jacob's ladder. We even use it in secular terms. Climbing the ladder of success a lot of times, right? But this is not the way that this is used here. And probably the word is better stairway. And where he stood, there's probably the idea of this mountainous area and steps up the mountains and things like that. So that's probably what he's seeing. But it doesn't matter exactly what he's seeing. It matters what he's seeing stands for. It matters the purpose of the stairway. And what we see is, we see angels descending and ascending on the stairway. And God is showing Jacob that he's at work. But Jacob is not left alone. He sends his messengers back and forth. God's plans are unaware, but he's constantly working, even though Jacob doesn't see it. God is at work in your life, even though you don't see it. God is revealing that man can try all they want to get to Him, but the only way they're going to get to Him is if He comes to them first. God must come to us. He must come down. The stairway extended from heaven to earth, and God is showing Jacob, "I'm coming to you, and I will bless you with my presence." And God begins to speak, and He speaks from heaven. We see it says, God stood above the stairway, speaking to Jacob. And what does God say? What does God say? And I ask this question, so you consider it in your own life. What is God saying to you? Imagine God speaking to you in a similar way, because in reality, He is speaking all the time to you. We see that God reminds Jacob who He is. This is important. You need to be reminded who God is. He says, "I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. I am the Lord." Remember this, Jacob. "I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God that has been with them." God reminds Jacob that he's at work as he sees the angels coming and going. God reminds Jacob of his promises. He reminds Jacob that he's going to give him all the land around him. He reminds him, "I'm giving you a lot of the children." And he reminded him, "And all the nations of the world will be blessed through you, Jacob." And there's more to this latter dream. Later, after Israel becomes a great nation, God would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. Right? Born into the nation of Israel. And the word Israel, in case you don't know, comes from Jacob's name. Jacob was named Jacob. And God changed his name to Israel. That was his name. Israel was his name. And so Jesus is born into the nation of Israel through the tribe of Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, through the house of David. The promised Messiah, Jesus, comes. And as he's speaking to one of his disciples, Nathanael, he sheds light on the meaning of the dream that Jacob had. And he says to him in John chapter 1, verse 51, he says to Nathanael, as he's calling Nathanael to be his disciple, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God, on the Son of Man." And Jesus right there reveals that he is the stairway, that he is the ladder. It is he that is the access to heaven for man. It is he that all the blessings for all the nations would come through. The angels of God will descend and ascend on the Son of God. Remember when Jesus would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the access for people to know and experience God. And as Jacob is seeing this, then God says something truly magnificent. He's going to tell Jacob that he will be with him. That's our fourth point. God Almighty was with Jacob. Look in the text. It says, I think it's verse 15. "Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Listen, the words that are just spoken need to sink deep down into your heart, into your mind. "Behold, I am with you." Is there a sweeter and a more blessed promise from God to his people? Yes, he was speaking to Jacob. But he's speaking to you the same words today. Jesus said in Matthew 28 before he left, he says to his disciples, what? "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you. In the text here, the Lord Almighty stands at the top of the stairway and speaks to Jacob and he says, "Behold, I am with you." And 2,000-ish something years later, Jesus would stand at the bottom of the stairway, having descended to the earth as a child to become a servant, to die on the cross. And he would say the same thing, "Behold, I'm with you always." He says, "Behold, I am with you." The God of all creation is making a promise to Jacob. As Jacob is fleeing the murderous threats of his brother Esau, leaving his family and possessions behind, God comes and says, "I am with you." Now, I read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon just about this verse. Let me read to you what he says. Charles Spurgeon preached in the 1800s. They call him the Prince of Preachers, one of the best preachers that had ever lived. He says this, "I am with you." These words, "I am with you. I've tried to think them out that I might speak concerning them to you, but they are too full. I defy anybody to measure their height and their depth and the length and their breadth. The God should give to Jacob bread to eat and raiment to put on was much, but that is nothing compared with "I am with you." The God should send his angel with Jacob to protect him would be much, but it is nothing compared with "I am with you." "I am with you" means practical help. Whatever we undertake, God is with us in the undertaking. Whatever we endure, God is with us in the enduring. Wherever we wonder, God is with us in our wondering. Oh, the richness of this special blessing. How precious it must have seemed as it came to Jacob in that den of a place where he lay with the hedges for his curtains, the heavens for his canopy, the earth for his bed, stones for his pillow, and God for his companion. I am with you. What a blessing that is. Consider the fullness of what he's saying and continues to say as we hear this from Jesus, behold. That word means, hey, look. Look upon this. Consider it. I am with you. My presence, the presence of Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, he will accompany you. Lowly man, you will have my presence. What does David say in Psalm 139? Even though I made my bed in the depths of hell, there you are. Even darkness is as light for you. But he does not end there. He does not just say, I'm with you. He gives more detail. Every word meaning something deep to Jacob. He says, I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. God is promising him great things. He is promising you the exact same thing today. I will keep you wherever you go. This word means that he will watch over you. He will guard you. He will preserve you. Jacob had constant protection. The ultimate bodyguard. You remember me telling you the story about how my cousin defended me when that other dude wanted to beat me up, right? God's got something better than my cousin. Guess what his name was? Jacob. I'm just saying. All right? God is the ultimate bodyguard. No matter what Jacob would go through, he would have God to keep him. He could not get too far away from God. Enemies may have seemed to surround him. His uncle may have dealt with him in an ugly way. He may have thought that Esau was going to kill him when he goes back. But God is keeping him. He also says, and I will bring you back to this land. God's promising Jacob, even though you're on this journey, you will surely make it back. I will bring you back here, back to the land of the promise. You may think the promises of God have gotten further away from you. But God's promising you, I will bring you to the promises that I have for you. Wherever you may go, I'll be with you. And then he says, and I will not leave you. Now he's saying the same thing over and over in different ways. But he wants to assure Jacob, not only am I going to be with you, but I'm not going to abandon you either. I will not leave you. You do not have to worry because I am with you now and forevermore. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8, it says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. In Psalm 37, it says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Whew. What relief it is for us to know that no matter where we are, where we go, what God calls us to do, he'll be with us. I mean, does this not give us freedom and liberty to serve God whenever and wherever in this world that he calls us to? Yet we live in fear. We're afraid to go on missions because we don't know what's going to happen to us. Because we're afraid. Because we don't realize God is with us. God be for us, who can be against us? I'm certain that Jacob was filled with anxiety and fear. Filled with it. How could he not be? He just left his family. Left the land of promise. He needed to know that God was going to bring him back. And here God says, I am with you. Later, when Jacob is going to return and he's worried about what's going to happen with his brother, God says to him again, I will be with you. Later on in his life, he says, the Lord has been with me. Then later on, as he's dying and he's going to bless the sons of Joseph, do you know what he tells them? He says, the Lord, he will be with you. There's one thing Jacob learned in his life. Is that God was with him and would be with his children. Is there anything we cannot do with God on our side? Paul says in Romans 8, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave us up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He knew the presence of God. And fifthly, this calls Jacob to be in awe of God. In verses 16 and 17, it says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." You see, when he was confronted with the presence of God, it caused him to be afraid. I ask the question, how long has it been since you felt fear of God in your life? How long? Have you ever been afraid of God? Have you ever felt the fear of God on your life? If there's ever been a more misused word, it is the word that Jacob used when he described the place he was at. He said, "How awesome is this place? How awesome is this place?" Awesome means a cause for trembling, to inspire fear in someone. We say, "What an awesome play! What an awesome catch! What an awesome game! Man, that food was awesome!" We go and have a good time. We say, "I had an awesome time," and we laugh and we giggle and we feel all good inside. Was it awesome? Did that play cause you to fear and tremble before God? Did that food fill you with fear? Maybe if you're in a Mexican restaurant and you're wondering how it's going to mix with your stomach. Did the time that you had when you came back laughing and giggling, did it fear you with the fear of God? No. No, it did not. God causes us to tremble. Jacob experienced this. He says, "How awesome is this place? I stand in fear, trembling before the living God." And Jacob takes his pillow and he turns it into a pillar. The place that he laid his head, and he sets it up and he pours oil on it, consecrating it as a place to come and worship God Almighty. And you will find out that later when he comes back, when he comes back home, he would stop there, build an altar, and worship God. Jacob's response to God was worship. And the question for you today is, how about you? If God has come to you, if you've trusted in God, it means that God is with you, right? He is here even in this place today. How awesome this place is and should be. People, I've said this a couple times this week, people should be banging on the doors, begging to come in and worship with us. And half the time, we just kind of go through the motions, right? You ever done that? Just went through the motions? I'm coming to church, I need to be there, I got to go, you know. We don't sense the worthlessness of our own selves and how we ought to give ourselves to Almighty God. Do we respond to God in fear? I confess I do not always do that. And I ask for God's forgiveness. It is a privilege to worship God. It's a privilege for you to hear the word this morning, however long I preach. I promise you, I don't preach long for myself. I do not do that. It takes hours more of study to prepare a longer sermon. We preach what's in God's word because it is of the utmost importance in our life. God's word is what feeds you. Jesus would say, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And after he worships, and I'm almost through, Jacob responds with generosity. This is a good giving sermon, right? I'm not really worried about that. But this is how he responds. If you look in the text, he says, "This stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you." Jacob says, this is a place of worship. You'll see when he returns, he worships there. And after hearing and seeing God, he responds with generosity. He says, "I will give a full tenth," which is a tithe, which he began giving before the law ever came into play. This is what the men of God thought that they should give to God. And he doesn't just say, "I'm going to give a tenth of what I have." He says, "I'm going to give a full tenth." And in reality, a tenth and a full tenth, they mean the same thing, don't they? But Jacob is making sure that we know, I'm not barely going to get by on giving to him. I'm giving my full tenth to Him. This is what He says. And I ask the question, are we generous with our possessions? Do we give as God would call us to give? The fear of God invoked reverence and generosity from God, from Jacob. Do you fear God this morning? All those who fear God are generous toward God. Amen? All those who fear God are generous toward Him. Those that do not fear the Lord, they are not generous toward God. The invitation this morning is this. We see that God speaks to us. God is with us. And we ought to fear God. We should respond to God in obedience and fear. Have you ever met God? Have you ever experienced fear before God? That you stand before Him in your sin. When you see God as holy and yourself as sinful. No man has ever come to God to be born again without that experience. If you have never feared God in your life, you have never become a Christian. Ever. Yes, God is a God of love. Praise God. But He's also a God that invokes fear when we realize our sin. Why do you think Jacob was in fear? Because he knew he was sinful. Yet God came to him with nothing but grace. Nothing but grace. He realized the good that God did to him. So I say to you, come to God today. Repent of your sins. Trust in Him. If you're a Christian and you've done that before and you've experienced that, but you've wandered away from God, look, God has never left you. You got a wall maybe built up between you and God. You need to break that down and ask God to help you with that. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. God, for how good and how precious it is. Have mercy on us, Lord, today we pray. God, we pray that we'll see You today. And we'll respond in awe and in worship. And we'll leave this place full of confidence, knowing that You are with us. You will keep us. You will bring us. You will never leave us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.